At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
A warm up, hello. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. We've got an excellent podcast for you today. As joining me in segment number 2 is Jovan Alford. He does great work over at Total Sports Live, does amazing work over at FDM Bets, and we're going to be taking a look at the way that he's been playing some player props here in the postseason. That's been one of the big things that has been able to get him to the window. So some of the approaches that change from regular season to postseason. He is a Philly guy as well, so certainly we're going to be taking a look at this Braves versus Phillies series and what we're all going to be getting in Game 3 and taking a look at just the action in general that we are going to be seeing on Wednesday. So going to have a great chat with Jovan in segment number 2. In the final segment, going to give you guys picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Wednesday as we touch them all. If you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, for this podcast, you do open up 2 ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter/X timeline, at GNNRS41. Keep in mind, letters M, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. The other way, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you are able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Did not get in any Twitter/X questions today, but we've had a tremendous time taking a look at the baseball playoffs, and we've got one series that is now done. So let's take a look back at it, try to find some trends, and try to get to know these teams a little bit better.
Games from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the Rowdy Recap.
Well, the DTK Network write-up pick was one that I should not have made, as I had the under in Astros versus Twins, and right now this Astros offense is completely on fire. 9-1, they take down the Minnesota Twins for the Astros. You get a quartet of home runs. Yordan Alvarez off of Bailey Ober, his 4th of the postseason already. Jose Abreu, he notches his first 2 of the playoffs, and Alex Bregman was able to go yard. As for Abreu and Bregman, they both go yard off of Sonny Gray, the other home run for Abreu, also off of Ober, who came in for 1 1/3 innings, allowed 3 runs, including 2 bombs, and for Sonny Gray, he had allowed 3 earned runs or fewer in 30 out of his 33 starts this year coming in, and he just got walloped. 5 runs, 4 of which earned, given up in 4 innings. Emilio Pagana, scoreless inning. Get to Maeda, held down the fort, giving up 1 run in 2 innings. And then Griffin Jacks, he gets a pair of outs out of the bullpen. And for the Twins, they were able to find themselves with opportunities to claw their way back into this game early, but they squandered. Men in scoring position in the 3rd inning. The bases loaded in the 5th inning as Christian Javier, he was able to get out of some sticky situations. Gave up just 1 in in 5 innings. Allowed 5 walks, but punched out 9. Just some poor situational hitting for the Twins, a team that leads the big leagues with regards to strikeouts per at bat, as they struck out 14 times in this one. Hunter Brown from there gives up a run in his inning of work, but Phil Maton, Brian Abreu, Rafael Montero, they all lend a scoreless inning in the Astros. 1 game away from what would be a 7th straight trip to the ALCS, and they'll be matching up with the Texas Rangers when they get there. Doing this as the Rangers are finishing up their game against the Baltimore Orioles. Currently, as I do this, they're up by kind of 7-1 late in the game, so we shall see if they're able to get an insurance run to be able to get this total over, slash it would be a push on 9. If they get 2 runs, then you get the over. But for the Orioles, just a horrible start for Dean Kramer. He gives up 6 runs and got 5 outs, giving up a pair of home runs. Corey Seager hit a tank shot off of him. And then you got Adolis Garcia to be able to go yard. A little bit later on in the game, Nathaniel Lowe, who, by the way, under the radar, he had a 15-pitch at-bat against Kramer that led to a 5-run second inning. After that at-bat, I thought that that was very significant. He had that going on, and then he goes deep off of Kyle Gibson, who was supposed to be the game 4 starter, and honestly did an okay job of holding down the fort. As I do this podcast, he's won 3 innings, giving up 1 run at Tyler Wells. He was able to get 4 outs out of the bullpen, but Nathan Eovaldi is also back. For Nathan Eovaldi, as I do this podcast, he is going back out there for the 7th inning and has given up just 1 run over the course of 6 innings. Big for a Rangers team that really doesn't have a lot of bullpen. And then with a little bit of cleanup for Monday, as I was doing the podcast, the Diamondbacks, they were up by a count of 3-0, and they got the job done by a count of 4-2. So this is going to be an elimination spot for the LA Dodgers, who have gotten 6 outs from their starters here in 2 games, and we're certainly going to be diving into that in the final segment. But if you're looking at what we've all gotten in the baseball playoffs thus far, it's been very interesting, to say the least, as we have been seeing the favorites having a little bit of a rough go of it, to say the least, as favorites are now just 5-10 on the money line here in the postseason. Meanwhile, with regards to the over, it is now 8 overs, 6 unders, and a push thus far, so things have been a little bit overwhelming, and among the favorites that have won outright, all but one of them have been able to cover the run line. That is, with the pending result of Rangers versus Orioles, that should be able to push it to 6-10 marker for favorites, with 5 of them being able to cover the run line, with the total a little bit TBD. So that's what we're seeing in baseball right now, and that's what we all got on the board for Tuesday. Coming up next, we are going to be talking with Jovan Alford, taking a look at this big Braves versus Phillies series, which I still think the best 2 teams of baseball are playing in this series, taking a look at the way that he's playing player props here in the postseason, and so much more. That's on the flip side here on the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
Sports betting innovative analytics has taken the guesswork and emotion out of sports betting to bring you an innovative and trustworthy resource to enhance your journey to becoming a winning player. With industry-leading money-back guarantee options backed by their sophisticated modeling, they want to introduce you to a system that's not widely seen or available to help you beat the bookmaker. Specializing in NBA, college basketball, and WNBA, your first week is always free. Get started at SBIA1.com today.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the Beast and Family of Podcasts. It is great to be joined by this man, Javon Alford. He does amazing work over at FTM Bets, taking a look at so many different things. He's been doing a great job when it comes to the football front. I know that he, much like myself, is getting gas up for basketball. He does a little bit more NBA, whereas I do a little bit more college, but does a tremendous job on that front. And he also does a great job taking a look at all things Philadelphia sports over at TotalSportsLive.com. And all year long, he has been hitting a bunch of player props with regards to baseball. You're able to follow Javon on Twitter/X over at his name, Javon, and then the number 10 altogether. And Javon, always great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Hey, I'm always glad to be on, Greg. It's been a fun regular season. The last time we talked, we was in the regular season, so now it's postseason action. So you got to love it. A lot of great games, a lot of great matchups that we saw so far. So if you're a baseball fan and you've been betting on baseball, this has been a fun time for you.
Absolutely. And has your approach to taking a look at just full game sides and totals along with player props been a little bit different here in the postseason rather than the regular season? Because I always do think that postseason baseball is a little bit of a different animal, especially when it comes to strikeout props, just because these guys right. very much do get the quick cook, to say the least. But has there been any sort of a change in your approach when you've been taking a look at things in the postseason as opposed to the regular season?
I think for me, betting on postseason baseball has kind of been easier for me because we have like a set number of games each day, right? It's not like the whole board where we're picking through and sorting through like 13 to 15 games a night. We only have like two games at most, or three when it was in the wild card, or like four games on one night where you kind of have a more shrinked down number of props and things that you're looking for. So for me, I've kind of been looking at more of the HRR props, which are hits, runs, and RBIs. And I know those props aren't widely available. It's only, from what I've seen, only at BetMGM and DraftKings. The only books that really have had those props throughout this entire season. And that's probably been the one I've been focusing on a lot, just because total base props, I feel like, in postseason are so hard, just because the number of at-bats that players are getting and how games then later in the game have become like more matchup lefty versus lefty, righty versus righty, players getting taken off for defensive substitutions for another guy. Getting extra base hits, you know, is not the easiest thing in the postseason unless you're hitting a home run every time or getting doubles. So for me, I've been looking at the HRR props a lot and even the strikeout props, but really being more picky and selective with my strikeout props, just knowing which matchups to target, like when the Rangers took on the Rays, just knowing to take Jordan Montgomery when he was on game one, knowing that, okay, this favorable number, I think his number was at 4.5, and just knowing that the Rays, just in general this season, have been a high strikeout team, and knowing if he gets to the fifth, sixth inning, he could hit that number. So for me, been very selective on the K props, but really been diving into the hit plus run plus RBI props.
And with the way that pitchers do get a quick hook a little bit in the postseason as well, do you think that that's actually a really good time to be taking a look at some of these unders with regards to strikeout props, with regards to some of these outs props? Because we just see some mind-numbingly bad decisions from some of these managers. Like, for example, when we saw that Blue Jays versus Twins series, Jose Berríos getting the quick hook, That was one that I certainly did not agree with. You know that Dave Roberts is always due for something stupid in the postseason. It happens every single time with the LA Dodgers. But is that something that you perhaps do take a look at as well? Because I know that on Twitter/X, we always like to see, oh, I like strikeout props over and everything like that. Whereas I feel like this time of year, take a look at the unders, I would have to think would be pretty profitable if you played them all.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think for alt props and K props, you definitely have to look at those unders, and specifically looking at how the team performed in the game before, right? If we know that a team went straight bullpen for the first game, you got to think, all right, maybe the starter gets a longer leash going into the next game because they use their bullpen a lot. But then, like you said, there's always a chance to get shelled, right? We saw Kershaw get shelled. We saw Bobby Miller not last long. So it's very tough to kind of gauge those things. And you mentioned Barrios. Like you said, that was puzzling and just frustrating because I had his K prop that day. I had the over on his K prop, and when he took him out, he had five. So postseason baseball, unless you're like a bona fide ace, right? Unless you're like the Gallons or the Wheelers, the Verlanders, you know, the Striders, those type of guys, you can probably be okay with taking the overs. But anybody else, I think it's fair game. If they're getting roughed up first, second, you know, they can't get through the lineup the second time, you could, you know, see a switch happen very quickly.
Yeah, I think that that is something so interesting to take a look at, as Javon Alford, who does tremendous work over at Total Sports Live along with FDM Betts, is joining me on the Baseball Betting Show. And Javon, I know you're a Philly man at heart, and now we've got a 1-1 series between the Braves and the Phillies. And I'll be honest here, I am still salty about the fact that my Phillies money line in game number two did not cash, but we move on to game number three, as in this one, it is going to be our good friend Aaron Nola going against what is right now to be determined. I'd be very surprised if it's not Bryce Elder, but as of right now, it is to be determined, and right now the Phillies find themselves as a modest right around minus 125 or so favorite at a total of 9. How do you evaluate this game three? Because I think the big kicker here with regards to Philadelphia Phillies is we always talk about home field, home court, what have you, advantage, certainly in baseball, but really in all sports. And with the Philadelphia Phillies, they might have the best home field advantage of any team in all of baseball, sans the Colorado Rockies, just due to that elevation, but has done them a lot of good in the last few years. But I just look at the way that the crowd has come out the last few postseasons, and I do think that it's a real factor in this game.
Yeah, it's definitely a real factor, and I think we saw it, you know, in last year's playoff, what they're able to do, and even this year in the wild card round against the Marlins, how, you know, the crowd was able to affect both teams, you know, negatively for the opponent and positively for the Phillies. And I think the crowd's going to have to play a big factor in this one, especially the way that how the Phillies lost game two, you know, squandering a 4-1 lead, not playing clean baseball, leaving guys on base. And it's going to start with a guy like Aaron Nola, who's had his shares of ups and downs this season. However, you're a Phillies fan or you're betting on the Phillies for game three, you have to be encouraged with how he's pitched the last couple weeks in the season, even in wild card round against the Marlins. A stat that I saw before we jumped on that I saw on Twitter from Rob Knox. He said Aaron Nola had a 3.50 ERA and 3 starts against the Braves this season, and it's 12-3 with a 2.59 ERA and 18 career starts against them at Citizens Bank Park. So if you hear that and you know, all right, maybe Nolan, just looking at how the way he's been pitching against his Braves team. Remember, one of his better starts at the end of the season came in Atlanta, where he was lights out. He was hitting the spots, working in the breaking ball. He was doing a little bit of everything, kept him off balance. And I think that's going to be the key here for him in this game three. You know, regardless, whoever starts for the Braves is going to be up to Nola to kind of build off what Suarez was able to do, what Wheeler was able to be able to do. Take from both of them. We saw Suarez being able to kind of keep the Braves off balance. And we saw Wheeler ramp it up with the velocity, with the fastballs, 97, 98 miles per hour, the speed to get him late on some pitch head up. So I think that's going to be the key for Nola. Like, just pitch your game. Don't leave the ball up, because that's when he gets in trouble, because he's one of the top players and top pitchers is giving up a lot of home runs this season. So if he does that, then the Phillies should be okay, because like the home field advantage played a huge part. And I think we saw it even regular season, where they were 49-32.
Yeah, we certainly did see it during the regular season with Aaron Nola. We've seen it throughout his entire career. Aaron Nola, he's got a career ERA more than a point lower at home rather than on the road. So I always do think that that is something so important to be taking a look at with him. And how do you gauge this Atlanta Braves team on the flip side as well? A team that they led the league in runs, home runs, you just go down the list. And The one fear that I do think you need to have if you're the Philadelphia Phillies is perhaps because of the late run that we saw in game number two. That's exactly what the Braves needed to get going, because through about 14, 15 innings of the series, the Braves were looking like a dead offense, and then they come back to life to be able to get that big game to win, where if they lose that game, it's pretty much finito for their season.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I feel the same way as you. You know, you kind of gave – Phillies kind of gave them life at the end, and then you saw the power start to happen, right? Travis d'Arnaud, Austin Riley, how he was able just to muscle that ball out of the ballpark with basically one hand, which was incredible. And that might be the spark that they need, so – if you're the Braves, the goal is, can you get something going with the top of your order? Because for the most part in this series, they've been quiet, right? Ronald Acuña haven't really been on base a ton thanks to the Phillies pitching. Riley, before that home run, was a little bit off balance. Albies had a big hit in game two, so that's going to be key. So it's going to be, what can those top three, four guys do? Acuña, Riley, Olsen, and Albies. If those guys can set the table, then we know what the rest of the order of this Braves lineup can do. They can do some damage. We've seen it, right? We've seen from 1-9 throughout this entire year, there's no easy outs, even down to Michael Harris, who's like probably one of the better nine hitters in Major League Baseball this season. So when you just have that order, it makes them tough to beat, and it starts at the top. And if the Braves can get something going up at the top with their guys, then it won't be good news for the Phillies, regardless of having home field advantage.
Yeah, but it certainly is going to be such an interesting rest of the series to take a look at, and I truly do think that we're looking at the top two teams in baseball slugging it out, as Siobhan Alford, who does tremendous work over at Turtle Sports Live and FTM Bets, is showing to me right here on the Baseball Betting Show. And I'm not sure if you agree slash disagree, but I do think whoever wins the series between the Phillies and the Atlanta Braves, they are the team to beat to be able to win the World Series. Certainly the Astros, they look good in game number three, taking it to the Minnesota Twins, and I think they're set up in good shape to be able to win that series, go back to the ALCS. But I just take a look at these two teams in the Phillies and the Braves, and with the way that the Phillies have gotten it going late, really in all aspects, and the way that the Braves have been doing it all season long, I think regardless of who they play in the NLCS, which right now it's looking like the Arizona Diamondbacks, they should be able to get by there. And I think both of these teams are better than whoever comes out in the American League as well.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think both of these teams, they have a lot of similarities in certain ways, like you mentioned. First of all, the offense is right. Both teams can slug. And again, like we talk about the Braves, same thing with the Phillies. From most of their lineup, from 1-7, there's no easy out. You have to pitch at your best. Then if you look at starting pitching, Phillies can roll out Wheeler, Nola, Suarez, top three. Braves can roll out Strider, Max Fried, maybe Charlie Morton if he's healthy, if they advance to the next round. So both of these teams have solid pitching. They have good managers. Both bullpens have arms that can really be matchup problems for a lot of teams. And like you said, if it's a team like the Diamondbacks, who, you know, surprised, I think, a lot of us in this playoffs just with the way they've been hitting, you got to like the Braves or the Phillies offense in the pitching, you know, and I think that's the key. I think that we're seeing just in this playoffs in general, if you have somewhat solid quality pitching, not meaning the arms, but more so guys that you can get through 4, 5, 6 innings, then you'll be in good shape.
Yep, I do think so, as well as I do think that we've got ourselves a tremendous series out there. And then with the LA Dodgers on the flip side in the National League side of things, they're just trying to stave off elimination against the Arizona Diamondbacks, as it's Lance Lynn against Brandon Fott. And right now with the Diamondbacks, they're between about plus 120 to plus 130 underdogs with the total. In some places going up to 10, mostly seeing 9.5. I'm not sure how you view this game, but certainly I do think that the Dodgers should be a little bit of a favorite, but I've got my trepidation with Lance Lynn on the mound with the way that he has been giving up all sorts of hard contact. And though I do think that the 9.5 total has gone up a little bit too high, I think the key for the LA Dodgers is they just need to be able to get some sort of length out of Lance Lynn, because their starting pitching thus far in the series has literally gotten 6 outs in 2 games.
That's my biggest thing with this Dodgers team, right? You know, it started, like we mentioned, with Kershaw getting roughed up quickly in that game, and that kind of set the tone for the Diamondbacks. And then Bobby Miller, again, a young pitcher, first postseason experience, even though he's at home still, that's first postseason experience. He doesn't stay out there long. So now all the pressure's on Lance Lynn, who hasn't been the greatest of pitchers this season. I think he ended the major leagues, the regular season, as like the leader in home runs allowed for starting pitching, if I'm not mistaken. I know it was like 43 to 45 home runs is allowed And I think that's going to be the key for him. Can he, if he does give up a home run, it has to be of the solo variety. You cannot have nobody on base because this bullpen is already being taxed through these first two games. And I think, like you said, it's going to be what can Lance Lynn do? Can he give him innings? And if you're a Dodgers fan, you got to be encouraged by that because in September, he's went at least six or more innings and three of his last five starts. So you do feel confident about that. And also in his last four outings, he's only gave up two or more earned runs, which again, isn't bad. And the Dodgers have came out victorious in those games. So it seems like things have lined up where they can possibly stave off elimination to go to a potential game four, because we know five, he opened up the playoffs in Milwaukee. He only went, but 2 2/3, I think, against the Brewers, and the Diamondbacks offense was able to pull one out against, you know, Corbin Burns. You're not going against Corbin Burns this time, but can Lance Lynn be that wily veteran that can kind of eat those innings and just put them in a position where they can just try to stave off the elimination or force a pivotal game four to try to get it back to Los Angeles for game five?
Yeah, but I think that is so key for the Dodgers. And the Dodgers, even though the bullpen has been taxed, they have been very good in their bullpen since the beginning of the month of July. And the Diamondbacks, very silently since the beginning of the month of September, a sub-225 bullpen ERA. So that 9.5 total, I think we might be in a little bit of a sneaky spot for an under there personally. We shall see what we get. But Javon, I know that we're going to get great content from you the rest of the MLB postseason. I know you're doing a great job getting set for basketball, taking a look at all things football as well. So love to get people at home know what's all on tap for you and how people are able to follow along on social media and other platforms.
For sure, man. Always appreciate you having me on. Yeah, so people can follow me on X. I was about to say Twitter. You can follow me on X at Jovan10, and then you can check out my stuff, college football. We're getting close to the end of the season. It's crazy. We're almost there. You can check out my best bets at ftnbets.com. For NFL stuff, you can check out gamedayfootball.com. And then for NBA, doing a little bit of NBA betting stuff as well, you can check out sportstopia.io. So a little bit of everything. And then obviously Total Sports Live, Total Sports Live podcast on all your streaming platforms.
Absolutely. Javon doing an absolutely tremendous job taking a look at this game that we all know and love of baseball, but really doing it in so many different aspects. And every single time he joins this podcast, he lends tremendous insights. Big thanks to Javon Alfer for joining me on the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast to give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Wednesday as we are tomorrow.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. Always great to be joined by Javon Alford. He does amazing work taking a look at the game of baseball over at FTM Bets, along with Total Sports Live based out there in the Philadelphia area. Certainly, we are going to be seeing a tremendous series moving forward, one that I hope goes 5 between the Phillies and the Atlanta Braves. He does tremendous work as well, Javon does, taking a look at the NBA. I know he did good work with the WNBA this past season, as I believe the finals are still raging on between the Liberty and the Aces as well, taking a look at football and so much more. So, big thanks to Javon for joining me in the last segment, and now it is that time of the podcast, and I give you picks and analysis on all these games that we've got for this Baseball Wednesday as we touch them all.
If a game is listed on the betting board, Greg has a side and a total on it, so it is time to touch them all.
Do note that, as per usual, any changes that are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter /X feed at GNN_D1. We are going to be going in the Las Vegas rotation order. Starts out with the earliest of the National League games, then we go with the two American League games, and then Dodgers versus Diamondbacks, that is going to be at the bottom, and if the Orioles lose on Tuesday, well, you're not going to be hearing a breakdown for Rangers versus Orioles, because that would end the series. I'll be doing a breakdown of it, and if it does turn out to be a case where the Orioles lose and they get swept, well, you're just not going to get that breakdown. So let's start things off with 931, 932 on the betting board. The Philadelphia Phillies, they're playing OC Atlanta Braves. The Braves have yet to confirm their starter as I do this podcast, but we are thinking Bryce Elder is going to be getting the ball for them. Meanwhile, Aaron Nola, he hopes to be super for the Philadelphia Phillies. 9 is the total. Juice is all over the place. The over is anywhere between even money and minus 110. The under, that is anywhere between minus 110 to a minus 120 with the Phillies. They're between minus 120 to minus 130 favorites. Between plus 102 to plus 115 is your number on the Atlanta Braves. And being able to get the best record in baseball with the Atlanta Braves at a plus price is appealing to some people, but I would need a little bit more of a plus price to be able to dive in here. If you're looking at the Phillies on the run line, laying a run and a half, you're able to get right in the neighborhood of about plus 155, seeing as high as a plus 165 as well, and it's a very interesting situation here because I'm willing to go up to a minus 120 with the Philadelphia Phillies in this case. And with the run line, I did set it to where I did need at least a plus 165 to be able to take a shot there. Personally, as long as I'm able to get a minus 120 or better, I'm just going to stick with the money line just because it is the playoffs. It is getting to be very much a time where you just want to survive in advance, to say the least. And for Aaron Nola, we were talking about it with Javon Alford. He just is a different pitcher when he's at home rather than when he is on the road. And for Aaron Nola, he has had his issues giving up the deep ball all season long. That is something to be very mindful of. 4.46 ERA, but the fielding independent, it is more around about a 4.05. So he has been a little bit better, in my opinion, than the just raw ERA and what have you would indicate. And this guy, just all throughout his career, has had an ERA about 1.2 points lower at home rather than on the road. Became more demonstrative this year with a 3.29 home ERA, 5.43 ERA on the road. Still gives up hard contact at home, about 1.2 home runs per nine innings at home, compared to more around about 1.8 home runs per nine innings on the road. But still was able to do a good job limiting walks, giving up two walks per nine innings. And for Bryce Elder, even though the ERA is better, if you look at the fielding independent, it's pretty much on par with that of Aaron Nola. As a matter of fact, it's worse than that of Aaron Nola. 4.42 fielding independent, 3.81 ERA for Elder. Just not coming in good form. And like I said, I'd be very shocked if we don't get Bryce Elder, because really the only other guy you could throw out there as a starter is Jared Schuster, and or you'd be throwing out there a bullpen game. Though this could be a bullpen game, because with Elder, he's given up 4+ runs in each out of his last three starts, has gone 5 innings or fewer in each out of his last three as well. Now, I will say this for Bryce Elder. He has been a guy that has been relatively steady home to road. 3.61 home ERA, 4.05 ERA on the road, giving up less hard contact when he's on the road rather than when he's at home. And you notice this a lot with these Braves pitchers, just because Truist Park, it very much is a hitter's ballpark, to say the least. But with the Atlanta Braves, the big thing that they've got going for them, you've got all of your top five guys being able to slug out north of 30 home runs this season. They terrorize darn near anyone. And I mean, Aaron Nola throughout his career, he's been pretty solid against the Atlanta Braves, as we were talking about with Jovan. But I mean, even with that being said, you just have so many guys that are able to match for the Atlanta Braves. You have each of your top five guys being able to slug north of 30 home runs during the regular season. And all of these guys hit at least a 274 with at least a 336 on base. They check all the boxes. Matt Olson, 54 home runs. You obviously had the 40-70 season of Ronald Acuna Jr. You just go down the list and you don't catch a break, because even at the bottom of the fold, when you do have guys like Eddie Rosario and company, these are guys that do a very solid job of being able to move the line and are able to give you some relatively good production. Meanwhile, the Philadelphia Phillies, I do feel like they're checking all those boxes as well. Even someone like Christian Pache has been relatively solid at the plate thus far this season. Johan Rojas has been able to give you good at-bats, and then just the way that you have seen the coming of age of the likes of Bryce Harper and Trey Turner towards the back of the season has been good. Now, you did see the two-error game from Trey Turner, not necessarily too terrific on that front, and he has cooled down ever since early to mid-September slash into very late August after that random standing ovation. He was just the hottest hitter on the face of planet Earth, but these guys have still been able to give a nice lift to the team, especially Harper. He had just 3 home runs in his first 58 games of the season. I think he's up to 68 or 69 games played ever since then, and he's been able to belt out 19 home runs between the regular season and the postseason. We've already gotten a pair of home runs from JT Realmuto. Very silent, the fact that his regular season was a little bit topsy-turvy, wasn't necessarily the world's greatest, and then you've got Kyle Schwarber, as he had to hit a home run here in the postseason, but belted out north of 45 bombs during the regular season. And the Phillies, they entered into the postseason just in better form in general with regards to their bullpen. The Phillies, number 3 in terms of bullpen ERA from July 1st on, while the Atlanta Braves, they were number 11 with regards to bullpen ERA in that time span. The likes of Kirby Yates, Michael Tonkin, they've been relatively solid for the Atlanta Braves. And Tonkin can be used as a little bit of a long guy as well, because I do think that they might need to piecemeal things together. You could have perhaps Jared Schuster, A.J. Smith, Schwarber be able to give a little bit of length as well. But you have to figure out that Game 4 situation, which I'd be very, very surprised if it's not Spencer Strider. But for the Philadelphia Phillies, you just have more options in general with this bullpen. Jose Alvarado being able to give you sub 2 ERA. I recognize that Jeff Hoffman did not have the world's greatest go of it in game number 2, but he, Matt Strom, were able to give you a sub 3.5 ERA during the regular season as well. I do have more faith in this Philadelphia Phillies bullpen at a minus 120 or less, I'm going to be willing to take the Philadelphia Phillies on the money line. And because it is now October out there in Philadelphia, the weather's a little bit cooler, the wind, it's starting to be a little bit more brisk out there. I did set my total at an 8.8, so going to be diving in on the under of 9 and going to be taking a look at the Phillies at a minus 120 or less on the money line. 933, 934 on the betting board is up next. We've got the Houston Astros. They are on the road facing off against the Minnesota Twins. It is announced that Joe Ryan is going to be the starter in this game. Meanwhile, it is a little bit TBD as to what we are going to be getting out of the Houston Astros. So most places as I do this podcast do not have a number up. Currently at DraftKings, the initial opener, the Twins are minus 125, plus 105 on Houston. 8.5 is the total. The over is minus 115 and the under is minus 105. And right now for the Houston Astros, it's determining whether or not it's going to be J.P. France and Jose Urquidy. And personally, I think that you see both guys in this spot. I think that it could be much like we saw with the Texas Rangers in Game 1 against the Baltimore Orioles, where they had Dane Dunning and Andrew Keeney piggyback off of one another. I officially listed J.P. France as a starter, but regardless of if you get France or Urquidy, it's not going to be changing too much. I did make my total to where I'm going to be taking a look at the over. I wrote up the under yesterday. I'm not going to make that mistake again with the Houston Astros. But with the Astros, I do need at least a plus 124 to be able to take a shot here, because with Joe Ryan, he is a pitcher that has been different when he has been at home rather than when he has been on the road. And the big thing for Joe Ryan is being able to limit the deep ball. And recognize that the Houston Astros, they were able to pound the tar on the ball yesterday, but now with it being mid-50s out there in Minnesota, it's a little bit of a pitcher's ballpark to begin with. I think that that is going to be to the advantage of Joe Ryan, who had a 3.83 home ERA this year, 5.22 road ERA for Ryan, gave up about 1.3 home runs per 9 innings when he was at home. On the road, he got tattooed for north of 2.2 home runs per 9 innings. He is very much a different pitcher when he's at home rather than when he's on the road. And for both Jose Urquidy along with J.P. France, I mean, it's been very up and down for them. With France, he's actually got a sub-3 ERA when he's been on the road. Meanwhile, for Urquidy, 5.29 ERA, just hasn't been able to stay healthy in general. He was able to come back in the month of September, and he had that one really nice start against the Arizona Diamondbacks, but he's never really been a guy that's impressed me. 6.5 strikeouts to 3.6 walks per 9 innings for J.P. France. He doesn't get a lot of strikeouts either, so I mean, both of these guys, a little bit less than savory, but the good news for the Astros is that Hunter Brown was able to give them a few innings to be able to help out this bullpen that does have quite a few guys that are rock solid. The Astros, since the beginning of the month of July, number 6 in the big leagues with regards to bullpen ERA. You've got the guys like Hector Neris, who had a little bit of a rough game one, Brian DeBrayu, Kendall Graveman being able to give you a sub-3.3 ERA throughout the season. Now, for Ryan Presley, it's been a little bit up and down, but all in all, I do have some faith in these guys. And for the Minnesota Twins, the actual top flight bullpen pieces are guys that you're able to trust in. The likes of Brock Stewart, Yoan Duran, even Emilio Pagan. These guys have been able to give you a sub-3.5 ERA. Caleb Theobald, they've been relatively solid. The Twins have been a pretty league average bullpen all season long, but what does give me a little bit of trepidation with the Twins is all the swings and misses. We have certainly been seeing it thus far in the postseason. They are averaging well north of 10 strikeouts per game. They had the highest strikeout rate in all of baseball last season, but going up against Urquidy and or J.P. France should be able to mitigate much of that. Royce Lewis, he's already been able to pound out 3 home runs here in the postseason. And for the Minnesota Twins, the biggest thing is being able to get these guys like Edouard Julien, Lewis, who I just mentioned, Matt Wallner, Donovan Solano, these guys that actually get on base. I mean, that's big. Carlos Correa has been solid here in the postseason, but he, Max Kepler, Joey Gallo, Michael A. Taylor, these were the guys that led the team in home runs during the regular season, but the only of those guys that gave you north of a 315 on base was Max Kepler, who's been able to do a relatively solid job here in the postseason, but it is a little bit of a topsy-turvy lineup that can go a little bit cold. But I do think that with going up against a pair of guys in J.P. France, Jose Urquidy, that pitch a little bit more to contact, that does put the Twins in a relatively good spot. I did set the Twins at a minus 124. I'm thinking that once we get more openers, I should be able to find something just below a minus 125. Heck, I believe that DraftKings opened this at a minus 120 before they shifted it up just a tad to a minus 125. As a matter of fact, the opener was minus 122. So if we're able to get back to that number, going to be looking to lay it with the Twins. I certainly do think that the Astros are going to be able to put up their own runs. We've seen Jordan Alvarez be absolutely tremendous here in the postseason. He had 2 home runs in that game too. He's got overall for the series 4 home runs already. It's just been absolutely remarkable. And then you've got the likes of an Jose Altuve who's able to give you a 400 on base between the regular season and the postseason. You're seeing Alex Bregman doing a solid job of being able to move the line. Chaz McCormick, when he's been out there, has been able to give you some good at-bats as well. You saw Jose Abreu, who had just a miserable start to the season. He's all of a sudden been able to find it. He had 5 RBI and a pair of home runs yesterday for the Astros. Number one team with regards to runs per game in the American League since the beginning of the month of June, the Minnesota Twins. They are actually the number one team in the American League with regards to runs per game ever since the beginning of the month of September. So I do think that you see runs. Semi-total at 8.7, looking at the over. And with the Twins at a minus 124 or less, looking at the money line. 935, 936 on the betting board. It is the Baltimore Orioles. They hit the road. They're facing off against the Walker Texas Rangers. If you notice, there is no breakdown because the Texas Rangers wrap this thing up in 3 games. We do not have a game 4 between Orioles and Rangers. So we wrap things up with my DK Network right up. 937, 938 on the betting board. The Arizona Diamondbacks, they play as the LA Dodgers. Lance Lynn goes for the Dodgers, and Brandon Pfaadt is on the bump for the Diamondbacks. And the Diamondbacks find themselves as underdogs, anywhere between plus 122 to a plus 130, between minus 140 to a minus 148. Your number on LA. We're finding this total anywhere between 9.5 and 10. On the 9.5, over is minus 120 to a minus 125. Under is between even and plus 105. On the 10, the over and the under are both at minus 110. If you're looking at the run line, by the way, to get a run and a half with the Arizona Diamondbacks, you're going to be laying about minus 124 to a minus 130, and that's where I'm looking because I need closer to about a plus 138 to take a shot on the Diamondbacks on the money line, but getting a run and a half, I was willing to lay up to a minus 130 as I think that we're going to get a little bit of a lower scoring game than expected. My DK Network write-up pick is going to be on this total under with Brandon Pfaadt. He, for this season, does not have very savory numbers whatsoever. I'm just going to call what it is. He had about a 5.72 ERA, giving up north of 2 home runs per 9 innings, but if you look at things from the second time that he got called up to the big league bubble as opposed to the first time, very significant as, I mean, his first 5 or 6 starts prior to him getting recalled back down to the minor leagues with Mr. Pfaadt, he had an ERA that was north of 9, just getting completely pummeled post All-Star break when he got recalled for his final 12 starts of the regular season. A 4.22 ERA, being able to up his numbers from 7.4 strikeouts to 3.5 walks per 9 innings pre-All-Star break to more around 9.3 strikeouts and 2 walks per 9 innings post All-Star break. Meanwhile, he goes up against someone in Lance Lynn who his ERA has been better with the LA Dodgers. With the Chicago White Sox, where he was at prior to the trade deadline, he was posting up a 6.47 ERA compared to a 4.36 with LA, though the fielding independent has actually been darn near a point higher when he's been with the Dodgers rather than when he's been with the Chicago White Sox. But I actually do think that this is a relatively good spot for him going up against an Arizona Diamondbacks team that during the regular season, at 81 regular season games, they hit just 80 home runs. So the Diamondbacks team has really not been able to light it up. 24th in the big leagues with regards to home runs per game when they have been at home. Recognize that the Diamondbacks have scored 4+ runs in each of their 4 postseason games thus far. And Lance Lynn, he has been giving up 2.2 home runs per 9 innings this season, but he also gets about 9.5 strikeouts per 9 innings going up against a Diamondbacks team that entering into the postseason, they were scoring the second fewest runs per game from July on of any team in the National League with about 4.1 runs per contest. And the question becomes with the Arizona Diamondbacks, what are you going to be able to get out of the bottom of the fold? Because I feel like we know what we're going to be able to expect from a lot of these top guys, as you've got Corbin Carroll, Ketel Marte, Lourdes Gurriel all being able to supply between 24 and 25 home runs. Christian Walker has really been a little bit of a no-show the last month plus until the postseason where he has been able to find it. He's been the main man with 33 home runs. But what are you going to be able to get out of someone who has some postseason experience like an Evan Longoria? Geraldo Perdomo was great towards the beginning part of the season. And for the postseason, he has a 385 on base, but has only been able to slug out 1 hit and 9 actual at-bats. You need someone like a Gabriel Moreno to be able to stay hot as he's hit a pair of home runs, but he's been an all-or-nothing hitter here in the postseason. Alec Thomas, guys like this, and for the LA Dodgers, it feels like the team is just getting tight in general right now because the Dodgers, number 2 in the big leagues with regards to home runs and runs per game during the regular season, but down the stretch, that offense has really been struggling as the Dodgers, they have had their problems with regards to raw batting averages. This is a team that they really do generate a lot of their offense via walks. In terms of walks drawn on a per at-bat and a per-game basis, this is a number 1 team in the big leagues, but thus far in this series against the Arizona Diamondbacks, they've hit 1 home run and they've been averaging 5 hits hits per contest. It's just been a rough situation. Mookie Betts has gone 0-for-7 in the first two games of this series. You just have not been able to get a lot of guys like James Outman and company, guys that were able to move the line towards the month of August, September, when the Dodgers were able to go on that big, giant run post-All-Star break. I do think that they're going to be able to find it a little bit more. You've got guys like Max Muncy, Mookie Betts, Shady Martinez, who all had 33-plus home runs during the regular season. Freddie Freeman was providing a 400 base with north of 25 home runs, so you certainly have the firepower. But additionally, you've got a pair of bullpens that are really hitting their peak. For the LA Dodgers in the regular season, from July 1st on, 2.36 ERA. No other bullpen had better than a 2.84 ERA. In an actual relief spot, Caleb Ferguson has a sub-3 ERA. There have been a few opens, and he said, where that has driven up the ERA, but then you've got likes of Bersarder Gratterall, Shelby Miller, Evan Phillips, who have been able to supply a sub-3 ERA, and Ryan Brazier, since coming over from the Boston Red Sox, a sub-1 ERA. Meanwhile, for the Arizona Diamondbacks, from July 1st on, 18th in the league with regards to bullpen ERA, but hear this split. From September 1st on, and this includes the postseason as well, the Arizona Diamondbacks bullpen has a 2.17 ERA. Kevin Ginkel has been tremendous in this bullpen. Andrew Selfrank, I don't think has allowed an earned run in his entire MLB career, regular season or postseason. Paul Sewald has been a big addition for this team. Guys like Luis Frias, Miguel Castro, that couldn't find themselves towards the beginning part of the season, they've been able to do a much better job as well. So I do think that this is going to be a little bit of a lower scoring game. Recognize it with the Dodgers, they've been a little bit of an all or nothing team, as they won 100 games during the regular season. All but 16 of these games were by multiple runs, but I'm going to be willing to take the run and a half with the Arizona Diamondbacks. A little bit of a different animal when we get to the postseason. I do think that Brandon Fott is going to be able to put this bullpen in at the very least a halfway decent spot, and because Lynn is going up against a team in the Arizona Diamondbacks that doesn't necessarily pound the deep ball, I think he could have some success here. DK Network right pick is going to be on the under sub. I tell it a 9.2, and with the Diamondbacks at a minus 130 or less, willing to take a run and a half with them, and that will wrap things up for the Wednesday edition of the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the Visa Family Podcast. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Baseball Betting Show, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline, at @JNN_D1. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. As per usual, please just send these into the timeline. The other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire on whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Big thanks to Javon Alford of Total Sports Live and FTMS for joining me in the live segment, coming at you guys every single day throughout the baseball season. That means I'm coming at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news, with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts, as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.